In this episode, we're talking with Amelia Newcomb, a professional dressage rider and trainer and online educator.
Regardless of whether you're training your horse to do dressage, Grand Prix level, or whether you're training your horse to do jumps, or whether you're training your horse reining, all the same principles apply.
Welcome to the Equestrian Connection podcast from WeHorse. My name is Danielle Kroll, and I'm your host. Amelia Newcomb is a USDF bronze, silver, and gold medalist. She has trained and competed close to 50 horses in almost 500 competitions and has trained several horses that she started as youngsters all the way up to the Grand Prix. Her online platform, Amelia Newcomb Dressage, helps to develop a trusting and confident relationship between horse and rider. Using elements from both natural horsemanship and classical dressage, Amelia creates a holistic approach to dressage training that adapts to fit the needs of each individual horse and rider. Starting with basic groundwork and progressing to the Grand Prix, Amelia emphasizes that trust, understanding, and relaxation for horse and rider. Let's get started with the episode. Amelia, welcome to the WeHorse podcast. I have been so excited to chat with you and to have you on here. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today. And thanks for having me on the show.
Awesome. I'd love to go back to the very beginning. How did you get started with horses?
I started as a kid. My friends in elementary school started riding. And so they were like, come on, you should take riding lessons. To be honest, when I first started riding, I was terrible. I fell off all the time. I was so bad that my riding instructor was like, maybe you should quit riding. But there was something about the horses. Like, I just felt like I belonged on the back of a horse and I loved being with them and I loved being around them. So it was definitely an addiction from the beginning. And I kept going even though I was not talented in the beginning.
So you had no like family connection or anything like that. It was just friends.
Yeah. Just me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. I actually had the exact same thing. I have no family connection. And one of my best friends in elementary school in grade four, actually, she started taking lessons and I was like, well, I'll do it too. And then I've just been like obsessed with them ever since. It's so
funny. And thank goodness, like my mom got into it and my brother got into it. So it became a family thing, but it definitely wasn't in the beginning.
Oh, very cool. I love that. You have a really cool story on your website. And so because we're already in the beginning, we're going to take it further, not quite as far, but we're still going to go back. The story of your first horse, Geronimo. Can you tell us a little bit about that, bringing him to the trainer, that whole experience, and then how that may have influenced the horsewoman that you are today?
For sure. I got Geronimo when I was 14 and Geronimo was four, like a green broke warm blood, which was probably not the best idea in retrospect, but Geronimo was like my dream horse, like big bay, four white socks, amazing movement. And so we got him here. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never had a young horse or a green horse and I had a trainer, but unfortunately Geronimo started rearing. Basically, we were putting too much pressure on him. He got confused and he was like, oh, if I stand on my hind legs, the pressure comes off. And it was really kind of devastating at the time because I was told like he was a bad horse. There was something wrong with him. And all of a sudden, like my hopes and dreams were kind of crushed. Luckily, my mom, who's so supportive, she's like, we're not going to give up on this horse. Like he's an amazing horse. We're going to do something different. We're going to pivot and find a way. And I think that's an important lesson to learn with your horses. If you're having a hard time or if things aren't going well, you have to change and do something different. So we went to a cowboy trainer named Larry Fleming, and he was amazing. And at the time I was disappointed because I wanted to be going to dressage shows and like winning blue ribbons. And I ended up, you know, at the cowboy learning how to do groundwork and how important it was that I could get him to put his head down and how important it was that when I was grooming him, that I could get him to step away from me and all those little things on the ground and reestablishing our relationship and teaching him to bend and give to pressure. That was what solved the issue under saddle. And, I did end up getting Geronimo all the way up to the FEI. He did most of the Grand Prix. He was a fabulous horse, but he definitely took me on kind of a crooked journey of, going back to the fundamentals and to the basics and really understanding how horses think, how horses learn, how horses perceive the world. And then also understanding that if you're getting a bad behavior like rearing or bucking or spooking, you have to kind of go back and figure out a way to explain it differently to your horse. And so with Geronimo, instead of just like adding pressure, adding more leg, adding more hand, that didn't work for him. We had to go back on the ground and teach him, first how to put his head down, then how to bend, then how to move away from just the pressure on his side so that he could connect the dots better. And horses are amazing. They're so generous and they're so wonderful. So I really have enjoyed like learning that whole process of explaining new things to them.
Absolutely. I find that as well, where it's like, if I'm not getting the response that maybe I had the expectation or that I was seeking for, it's like, okay, so I'm going to put it back on me and ask, how can I ask this question differently? How can I be more clear with this question? And I mean, like, that's what my horses teach me. And then it applies to so many things in my life, right? Like when I'm talking with other humans and things like that, like it's really, really cool. The lessons that they teach us when we think that we're teaching them.
For sure. They all teach us something about our personalities or our temperament that we need to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So often in your trainings, you start with basic groundwork. And then, I mean, you help people progress all the way up to the Grand Prix with the emphasis on trust, understanding, and relaxation. So I love that you have that real life story. It's not just like, oh, I read this in a book and this would be good. It's like you lived it. Right. And so the idea of combining natural horsemanship with classical dressage, why do you think that's such a good idea? And why have you found success in that?
I really believe that good riding is good riding, and horses are horses. And so what I think is really cool is that we may do different disciplines. Like you might be more of a jumper rider or a Western rider or an English rider, but we're all united in the fact that, we love our horses and horses think the same and they perceive the world the same. And regardless of whether you're training your horse to do dressage, Grand Prix level, or whether you're training your horse to do jumps, or whether you're training your horse reining, all the same principles apply. It's through pressure and release, through repetition, through breaking things down into smaller pieces. That's how we train our horses. And so I think that it's really important to not close yourself off from one discipline or another, mm-hmm. but rather to understand that like you can learn things from the jumper riders. I can learn things from like the Western. I did rein cow horse for a while, which was so much fun. And so I really believe that all the different disciplines and all the different perspectives can help you with whatever your goal is. Cause they're just horses.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's funny, growing up, I always found that there was a lot of division, and I think that there still is, but I really feel like this idea that it's not like, oh, well, you ride that way or something, oh, you wear those things. It's like, well, no, like we can all come together and learn from one another. Like there's so much, like you said, there's so much that we can pick up from the different disciplines.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all like, we all need to be able to go, stop, turn, and stay safe and communicate and enjoy our horses. Yeah. And then once you have that, then you can specify and be like, okay, like I want to do dressage. I want to do reining. But the truth of the matter is that most of our time is spent on those fundamentals and mm-hmm. just developing trust and communication with an animal, with a horse, which is hard to do. I mean, horses are prey animals. When you think about that, it's amazing that they actually let us sit on top of them and then teach them to do like kind of unnatural things for them.
Absolutely. Do you find for the horses that you're specifically training, as well as the horse and rider combinations that you work with, do you find that you stick more so to a specific plan? Like, here's what works, and I'm going to apply to each horse, and I'm going to apply to each horse and rider combination. Or do you adapt your training, whether it's, like I said, you riding the horse or you teaching somebody else? Do you adapt it to each person and horse?
That's a tough question. I would say that it's some of both. And, you know, there are certain like training principles, or in dressage, we focus a lot on the dressage training scale, which is rhythm, suppleness, connection, impulsion, straightness, and collection. So that kind of gives you a framework. And also in dressage, we have the levels of like, you know, you start at training level and then first level and then second level. So there are kind of that framework as far as like beginning into more advanced exercises. However, that said, every horse and every rider are so unique and so different. And so part of the advantage that I have from riding like hundreds of horses and, you know, helping thousands of riders is that I can help them identify, oh, like, okay, your horse is a little hotter. So if your horse is more hot and sensitive, then you need to focus on more, you know, relaxation, steady tempo, calm breathing to help that horse relax. Mm-hmm. If you have a horse that's lazy, you have to ride it differently. Like on a lazy horse, you're doing more transitions, like go, stop, go, stop. You have to make things more interesting and exciting to get the energy level up in that horse. So I do have like certain favorite exercises that I love to do with my students. One of my favorites is the snowman exercise, which is an exercise to help with a canter transition. But like within an exercise like the snowman, then I have to adapt it to either make it easier for the rider or make it harder for them, or based on if their horse is, you know, crazy intense, then we need to make it, you know, a bit calmer. So yes and no, there are certain frameworks and principles that you follow with all horses, but then you do need to figure out a way to make it work for that horse and that rider in particular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's so much nuance into so many different things where it's like, it's a yes and sort of a question or answer. You, if anybody listening isn't aware of you, you have a very large online presence and online training, and you offer so many resources, which is amazing. What was your decision to transition into online training versus just staying in person like a lot of trainers do?
It was not a conscious decision. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to do this online training, because to be honest, at first, I didn't really think it would work. I was like, will I really be able to help people like through the internet with their horses? Because like we just talked about, every horse is so different. Every rider is so different. And so my brother actually had a YouTube channel and he was like, let's just make a video every week. And I was like, okay. So I just started making a YouTube video every week. And at first I would be so disappointed because I would get like 100 views, but I just stuck with it. And little by little, I started to figure out what people wanted from the videos, like what was helping people. And then what really got me excited was when I started hearing success stories from my audience, when they would write in and be like, oh my gosh, I tried that exercise and I had the best ride ever. Or, you know, your tip about how to sit the trot made such a big difference. And I had this light bulb moment. And what's been really cool is that and I'm sure you've seen this as well with your online programs, but they work because it's a different way of learning. When you're sitting on your horse in a lesson, you have to be so in the moment of like, what's going on around me? What's my horse doing? Am I going to fall off? Is my horse going to spook? But when you're able to, from the comfort of your home, when it's convenient, pull up a video, think about it, visualize it, really take in that information, and then go to the barn the next day and implement and practice, come back with questions. It really works. And it's been amazing to reach so many people all over the globe. Like we have students in Africa and Japan and all over. So I just love that I'm able to help more horses and more riders all over the world through the online videos.
Absolutely. And it really provides the resource for the rural areas. And I'll speak to myself. I'm in Canada. I'm in like a very rural part of Canada. And being able to, you know, learn from people that are in Florida and Germany and, you know, and like things all over the place, like I wouldn't have that resource to just like hitch up a trailer and, you know, and drive. And so being able to learn from people all around the world is just, it's so cool. I'm sure you, like you said, you know, having such a global community, it's, I'm sure there's lots of moments that you can think of that you're like, wow, that's really cool that I'm helping them all the way over in, you know, this continent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very exciting. And, you know, I think as horsemen, I'm sure you agree, but we're just lifelong learners. And for me, like, I'm always trying to continue my education and to learn from as many people as I can, because that's what makes us better for our horses. And that's why we do this sport, because let's face it, it is a really hard sport and it can be very frustrating at times. But by learning and continuing your education, that's how you continue to get new ideas and not want to give up riding.
Mm. Can you speak a little bit more to the transition of building the online community and the online resources and the online programs with any advice you might have for others who may be looking to do this similar sort of thing?
Like anything, like with riding, it's all about just consistency and just like getting out there and doing it. And it takes a long time for it to take off, you know, like the first few years, it was a lot of work without a lot of getting anything back in return. And sometimes, oh my gosh, I go back and I watch my first videos and I'm like, that is so bad and so embarrassing. But that's like anything, you know, like when you're first learning to ride, you're terrible at it and you just have to keep like going and keep stay consistent. And little by little, you start to get better and you start to see the improvements. So I guess that's my best advice, is just grind it out. That's also my best advice for riding, is consistency. You've just got to get out there and work with your horse and do something every day to improve your riding. And then little by little, it will get better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the online space can be so tricky for stuff like that. And so like you'd said, just like having routine, having consistency, showing up regardless, and just like putting in that time. Yeah, it applies to everything in life. Yeah. The website, so AmeliaNewcombDressage.com, correct?
Yes.
You have, and I feel like a broken record saying this, the word resources, but I just keep coming back to that. You have so many resources on your website, from free resources to articles to workshops and masterclasses, one-on-one training. Like, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. How do you find and your riding horses? And like, you know what I mean? Like, you also have your own horses that you're riding with. How do you find the time and energy to do it all?
I guess if you ask my husband, he would probably say that I'm a workaholic. But I truly, like, horses are my life. They're my passion. And that's what I love doing. Like, on the holidays, like Christmas Day, my favorite thing is to go ride my own horses at the barn and like no one else is there. And I like, truly, that's my passion. That's what I love doing, is riding, being around horses, helping students. And then of course, you know, it is a lot about discipline. Just like, I think all riders, like everyone who's listening to this, if you have a horse, you know that it does take discipline and commitment and being organized and making that your priority, that when you look at your week, that you make the time for your horses. And I truly believe that if you want something bad enough, you will make the time for it. It's just a matter of scheduling it in and not wasting time scrolling Instagram or Facebook. And then I do have an amazing team that supports me, and there's no way that I could do it without them. My husband is incredibly supportive. He's also a rider. My mother helps me. And then I have a whole team, like kind of behind the scenes, that is now helping me out with the online stuff. And it's really fun, because I'm able to like bring in now a bunch of experts. So, you know, like judges or people that are helping me with the coaching side of it. And they kind of all understand my philosophy. So it's becoming like a very inclusive community, which is very cool.
That is very cool. And I just want to go back to one of the things that you had said, because it's so important. And I just want to like highlight it, circle it, you know, put an asterisk by it for our listeners. Is, you had mentioned about priorities. Like, if it's really important to you, if it's something you really want to do, you'll find the time to do it, or you'll make the time, maybe like put that in front of find the time. It's make the time for it, to look at, okay, what are all the things that you do in your day? And then take out the fillers, take out the, you know, the scrolling, the things that aren't pushing the needle. And then really find that time for the thing that is lighting you up, that's making you happy, that's, you know, getting you to where you want to be. I just think that's really important advice. So I wanted to highlight that.
Yeah. And one thing I see a lot with my students and my riders too, is that I don't know how to say this, but sometimes you have to be a little selfish for yourself. And if riding is your passion, if that's something that you love, then make that space for yourself and give yourself permission to know that, like, I need to go to the barn. I need to spend that time. I need to ride my horse because it makes me a better person for my family or for my work or for whatever. And I do think it's so important to, like, feed your soul and feed your heart so that then you can also perform well in what other obligations you have in your life.
Absolutely. Fill your cup. Absolutely. You've given us advice now on, like, the online stuff, and I'd love to look at specifically riding dressage. Do you have any key pieces of advice for riders that are aspiring to progress through the levels of dressage, especially those who may not have access to, like, an in-person coaching?
I would say dressage is all about the basics, like all the disciplines. The better your basics, the easier it is to do the movements. And so most of the time, if you're struggling with a particular movement, like a flying change or a half pass or, you know, even a transition, going back and focusing on the fundamental building blocks is going to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. And one thing I teach a lot in my videos and my courses is the theory behind, like, the training and what we're doing, which I think is really important for those riders that don't have in-person trainers to understand the theory so that when you run into a problem, that you have a way to solve the problem. So the dressage training scale, something I talk about all the time, but the bottom three levels, rhythm, suppleness, and connection, those three levels are so important. And rhythm is easy. So rhythm, and I have my students do this all the time, is just count, right? The walk is a 4-beat rhythm. Trot is a 2-beat rhythm, canter is a 3-beat rhythm. Just simply by when you're riding, counting, like if you're cantering, count 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And that really helps you to get in sync with your horse's movement. It helps you and your horse to relax. And then once you have the rhythm, it's easier to turn your horse or to do transitions or to do anything within that movement. So just by focusing on something so simple as rhythm, which is the foundation of the training scale, when you start having a problem or you get confused or you're not sure what to do, that's really going to help you out with then, like, building up into the more advanced things. One of my other big things is rider position, because your rider position has a big effect on the way that your horse is going. So anytime, like, think about it, if your horse is strong and hanging on you, you need to think about, okay, sitting back, using your seat, engaging your core, because your horse is your mirror. And so, you know, it's easy to blame our horses for everything, but often we are doing something that's causing our horse to do that. Hmm. And then the other thing that I think is really helpful is video. I think it's really helpful if you ride alone to get video of yourself. A lot of my students use Pevos or even just, like, set your cell phone on the side of the wall, because what I've found with my students and some of my courses, they actually send in videos of themselves riding and we give them feedback. But often when they see their own video, then they're like, oh, I know what I need to fix. I know what I need to work on. So definitely video is a really valuable tool if you don't have help.
Absolutely. One thing I want to commend you on, Amelia. So first of all, those are all three excellent things. And I know that you have training scale program, a rider position program. So anybody that's like, ooh, that sounds really good, Amelia has that on her website. Well, one of the things I want to commend you on is that I find there's two different types of trainers. One is a trainer that rides really, really well. and they teach, but it's hard for them to explain it because they just do it really well on their own. And then there's a trainer that rides really well and teaches really well. And you're in that category. You teach and explain so well. It makes sense for people. And that's so important, especially in an online educator. So I want to like commend you, hats off to you for that, that the way you teach makes so much sense and it's so well explained. And I think that's why so many people do find success, you know, learning from you.
Thank you. That's very nice. You know, I think one thing I always try is how can we make it simple? Because riding is so hard and it's so complicated. So how can we make it something simple? Like I just talked about, like rhythm. Like, yeah, okay, I can go out, I can count, and that's going to help you. So that's one thing I always try to do is like, how can I make this simple and understandable and help students focus on the most important thing? Because sometimes we end up focusing on the wrong thing. Like we all tend to focus on the horse's head or what your hands are doing. And often that's the least important thing. Mm-hmm. Like you need to get your horse forward first. You need to focus on your seat. And then your hands is like the last thing that you need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know you have personally some bigger goals and aspirations. Can you tell us about those? What are your future goals in the dressage world, both in competition and in your educational endeavors?
Yeah, I would. My dream is to compete internationally. I'd love to compete Grand Prix internationally. It's always a journey, and I really like to develop my horses up through the levels. So, like to get them when they're young, 4 or 5, and then bring them up through the levels. As we all know, that is like a big journey. And so I have a horse, Kensington. He's doing the small tour right now. He's 10. So I'm super excited about his future. My Grand Prix horse, Harvey, unfortunately, has had some health issues. And so I'm going to have to like turn him out for a year. And that's, you know, that's what's really hard about our sport, I think, is you put so much time and training and love and effort, and you have like these big hopes and dreams, and then something happens to your horse. And that can be really devastating. And I think the takeaway there is just to remember that it's all about the journey, and every day that you get to sit on a horse and ride a horse like is such a gift, and be grateful for all of the good days, because we all know that there are hard times. And I think that it's important that we are encouraging and supportive of one another, knowing that, you know, the highs are really high and the lows are really low.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any, like for your online programs and everything like that as well, any like hopes where you're going in the future, ideas that you can share?
So much. We just keep growing and keep building and keep finding new ways to help our students and our riders. And as much as we all have a love-hate relationship with technology, technology is an amazing thing. And the fact that, you know, through the internet and through online and like through Zoom, we actually have our students submit their videos and we're able to give them coaching through the Zoom platform. And so I'm always excited for like what's coming next in technology and just thinking about how much we've advanced. Like I really started doing this in during COVID is when it took off for me. And even since then, there's been so many technological advances that like, I think in the next 5 years, it will be even easier to be like virtually present in someone's arena, helping them. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also just excited about the, you know, the team that am growing around me and my ability to continue learning myself. And then also sharing that knowledge with so many riders and so many students. And, you know, my mission really is dressage for all, because I want the sport to be more inclusive and more open. And I really believe that we need more quality education. We need to be helping each other and helping our horses to find a way to really train through like kindness and consistency and correct principles for the well-being of our horses, really.
Totally. That leads me exactly into my question. I've been asking everybody this because I'm sure you have seen, witnessed, experienced it as well, is this shift happening in the equestrian industry that we are moving absolutely towards a more ethical and aware industry, which in my opinion is for the better. And I hope that we continue to go in that direction. What is your hope for the future of the equestrian industry?
I hope that we can do right by our horses. I think that's the biggest thing, is that horses, they're amazing creatures and they're so honest and they're so kind. And when we can understand about how they think and how they perceive the world, and when we can understand how to train them, then, you know, the partnerships that we can build with them is amazing. And I also think that one thing I foster a lot in our community is education. And education is such an important part of being better horsemen and being good to our horses. And that's why I'm so passionate about learning. And I think it's important that within our communities, that we also support each other and that we offer like the balance of encouragement and education, because sometimes, you know, people can be harsh on the internet. Yeah. And it goes back to like the man in the ring, right? It's always harder to be out there on your horse doing it than it is to sit in your house behind a screen and like be critical. And I think that's important to remember, is to always have that empathy when you see a rider that's struggling or that's having a hard time. We've all been there as horsemen. Like, we've all gone down the center line and it just goes terribly and you're so embarrassed. And gosh, I had this horse when I was younger named Trumpet, and he was so difficult. And there were so many times when I would go in the show ring and he would try to buck me off. And the judge one time even asked, like, do you want to keep finishing your test? And like the tears were streaming down my face. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to finish my test. But it is important that we are supportive and encouraging and then promoting education for our community.
Absolutely. It's like a more ethical industry for horses and humans.
Yeah.
I just, so that you're not alone in your story, I once was going down the center line and a bee stung. I was on my pony. A bee stung my pony and we jumped out of the ring. And so I was like, I'm all done.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it happens.
It happens. We have 4 rapid fire questions that we ask every podcast guest. The first one is, do you have a motto or favorite saying?
I would say tomorrow is another day. I think that's an important saying with horses, because you have good days and you have bad days. And whenever I have a bad day, my husband is the best. And he's always just like, well, you're just going to get up and you're going to do it again tomorrow. And it helps me to not get too emotional in the bad days.
Who has been the most influential person in your equestrian journey?
I've had so many important people. I would say for sure, Larry Fleming, the natural horsemanship cowboy that really helped me a lot with Geronimo. And then more in the dressage world, I would definitely say Christine Traurig. She's the U.S. coach now, but she taught me a lot, like I've talked today, about the theory and like the importance of the training scale and the basic principles, because without those, you really, you know, you can't move up the levels and you can't do the movements.
Mm. If you could give equestrians one piece of advice, and I know you've given a lot, but this is like all encompassing, no pressure, what would it be?
I might have to do 2, but I would say it's consistency and confidence. Just like getting out there and seeing your horse every day, doing something, even if it's just groundwork, is so important, and doing it with confidence, because your horse is looking to you to be a leader. So even if you're like not exactly sure if you're doing the right thing, do it with confidence, and that's going to give your horse more security.
Absolutely. And the last one, please complete the sentence for me. Horses are
everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many of your interviewees say that?
So many, but, and it's all like, it's, it's the same thing, but in a different word, but it all means the same. It like, and I love it. It's like, we all are on the same page with that. We're all like, it's, they're magic. They're everything. They're, you know, my friends. It's like, yeah, it's, I love it.
Yeah.
So we're going to put this in the show notes. Where can people find you? How can they connect with you? All of the things.
Yeah. So my website is AmeliaNewcombDressage.com. I'm also on YouTube at AmeliaNewcombDressage, Instagram at AmeliaNewcombDressage. And we have an amazing Facebook group, Amelia's Dressage Club, which is like full of equestrians that are excited about learning and supportive of one another. So thank you for having me on the show. And yeah, we hope to see you, some of you, over on the YouTube channel.
Awesome. We'll link it all in the show notes. You can find it there. And thank you so much, Amelia. This is a blast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Equestrian Connection Podcast by WeHorse. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a rating and review, as well as share us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at WeHorse_USA and check out our free 7-day trial on WeHorse.com, where you can access over 175 courses with top trainers from around the world in a variety of topics and disciplines. Until next time, be kind to yourself, your horses, and others.